I know a man. He's a carpenter right now, and he's having a hard time finding work. And I asked him, well, what else do you do? He said, well, I'm a carpenter. I said, yeah, but can you do drywall? Can you paint? Can you do roofing? What about laying floor? And he said, no, I'm a carpenter. So his mistake, now, of course, I didn't say this to him. This is a guy that I know. I'm speaking with him. His mistake is limiting himself to making money based on only one source of money supply. His knowledge of carpentry, he can frame 2x4s and build cabinets and things like this. And so he's limited himself that's the way he makes money, is doing carpentry. Now, sometimes carpenters can make a lot of money, without a doubt. But because he's limited himself to a single money source, he will always struggle to make money because of the business cycle. I talk about this in my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, the business cycle. Traditionally, the business cycle is 5 to 7 years. It seems to have kind of pushed out a little bit, maybe 7 to 10 years now. But there's a cycle where business grows, expands, credit's available, people can borrow easily, and housing prices start to climb up, and everything's easy, and there's lots of credit cards flowing, and people are buying things. But then something happens. Something shocks the system. Something always does. Or things just push too far. The debt load becomes too high, and then the slightest layoffs, people can't make their credit card payments. Then they miss a car payment, and then mortgages, and then it just starts to snowball, and all these different industries start having problems, and they start laying people off. And we go through this cycle, and then as the markets tumble, then the government steps in, they start doing incentive plans, money starts flowing again, and on and on and on. And this is called the business cycle. Now, see, I know the business cycle. Economists know the business cycle. The Bible taught the business cycle. The Bible taught very clearly you're supposed to lay up money for the times when there is no harvest. Why? Because nature, the universe cycles. If things are good for you now, I promise you they won't always be good. You're going to have problems. It's the unknowns that derail you from your plan of getting rich. Now, my carpenter friend, he only can make money by doing carpentry. And it's funny because I also know a man who cuts hair. He's a barber. The barber's much wealthier than my carpentry friend. But here's the difference. My friend owns the barbershop. And so he'll be cutting hair right next to another guy who's licensed to do the same as him, cut hair. And so you have two guys in the same business. One rents out a chair each day for $25, pockets all the money he makes. So he makes probably $100, $200 a day cutting hair. The other owns the barbershop. He rents out 6 or 7 chairs. $25, $25, $25, $25, $25, $25. And he has his own clients. So now he doesn't pay to rent a chair. He collects money to have a chair. Both people in the same business doing the same thing. But one makes money 2 ways, actually 3 ways and 4 ways, because he owns the building. And so the building itself is making money because the building itself is appreciating. The business building itself is a tax write-off. And the people renting the chairs are paying off his loan, which increases his business profits, which means he makes a lot more money than everyone else around him cutting hair. Why? Because he's the one who took on the responsibility. And so there's a direct connection between building wealth and being responsible. Now, a lot of people think they're responsible, and you may be responsible, but there's a difference between being a responsible person and taking on enormous responsibility. You could be a super responsible person, but have very little responsibility. And so it's the people who assume the most responsibility, the people who raise their hand and say, hey, God, I'll do that. I'll take over that. I'll be responsible for that. Now, the people with the least wealth, the poorest people in our society, have the least responsibility. Homeless people are responsible for very little, just themselves. While as the president of the United States is responsible for a lot, right? And so there's a direct connection between how much you make at your job or business based on how much responsibility do you have. Now, I have enormous responsibility. I have to pay for all these mortgages of homes that I invest in. I self-manage my own retirement funds and the funds of my children and the funds of my parents, and I'm responsible for making the decisions of where the money's placed and where the money's going. I'm responsible for paying dozens of insurance policies and dealing with bug people and plumbers and then talking to customers and clients and having hundreds and hundreds of people in my sales organization that I'm accountable to and I have to talk to and try to explain things to. And with this great, enormous responsibility comes wealth. But if you spend your life avoiding responsibility, not my fault, don't want to be in charge of that, you will always struggle to build wealth. It is in direct correlation. If right now you're struggling and you're saying, I want to get rich, look around your life. What are the responsibilities that you have? I'm not talking about feeding a cat. What are the financial responsibilities you have? And I'm not talking about paying bills. While that is a responsibility without a doubt, you paying your cell phone bill, that makes you a responsible person, but it's not the kind of responsibility that builds wealth. More likely, avoiding paying some things, as in not having these debts, not having car payments, not having credit card payments. Avoiding those. Being responsible with your money. See, you're not being a responsible person when you give your money to interest. Meaning when you pay other people interest, when you're enslaved to other people, when you owe banks. And some debt may be a little unavoidable, but if I had my way, I'd have zero debt. Now, true, you could make a case that it's harder to build wealth without debt, and you can utilize debt to build wealth, absolutely, 100%. But it has nothing to do with cars, trips, furniture, your personal home, none of that shit has anything to do with building wealth. When you use debt to build wealth, it's because you take on enormous responsibility. And you're responsible now for the mortgage. You're responsible for collecting the rent. You're responsible for paying the insurance. You're responsible for the upkeep of the property. Now you begin to build wealth. You're responsible for taking a percentage of your paycheck each and every month, month after month after month, first fruits. And you pay and you invest first fruits, boom, right off the top. If you're religious, you'd pay your God, your church, whatever, your synagogue, and then you would put in money into your investment account, and then you live off the difference because of your responsibility to building wealth. Now, you could shrink from that responsibility and say, I'm just going to self-consume it. I'm going to spend it all on me. Now, people don't word it that way, but that's what they do. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I get it. Kids have to eat. Things have to be done. And you can rationalize this in your own mind and you begin to say, well, you know, YOLO, you only live once and you need to enjoy life. As if somehow squandering and wasting money is enjoying life. And we get our priorities all messed up in our own mind. Somehow we've equated spending all of our money with enjoying life. Life has nothing to do with money. There's plenty of people who live with very little money. America is one of the richest, most prosperous countries in the world, and the poor in America are richer than most people anywhere. The funny thing is, I have a friend who makes $42,000 a year, and he's always pushing back and telling me, hey man, I can't save like you talk about on this podcast. I read your book. I can't do that stuff. Can't do any of that. And I said, not having the money doesn't preclude you from understanding the process, does it? This idea that, I don't have the money, so I can't do that now, it's what causes the law of attraction not to work in people's lives. Now, see, I believe that most people believe in the law of attraction to the negative, but not to the positive. Once when I was a child and I was getting on an airplane, and I told my mom, I was little, but I remember it clearly because I want to say I was 8 or 9. And I says to my mom,
I hope the plane doesn't crash. You know, stupid things that kids say. We're getting on an airplane, and my mom looks at me and goes, Gerald, don't say that. What are you trying to do? Give us bad luck? Like, she freaked out that I said that as we're getting on the plane. And I said, Mom, do you believe in that? And she, you know, I don't quite remember her response, but I could tell that my mom believed that if I just said it, I might make it happen. You ever done that? You ever like, oh, shh, don't say that. Don't say it out loud. Or kind of like Beetlejuice. Like, if you say it three times, you might actually make it happen. A lot of us believe that. Intuitively, we believe that. That you can literally speak bad things into existence if you say them enough. And a lot of people who believe that, you say, well, what about the flip side? Could you speak good things? Could you speak the storms? Could you speak money into your life? Because I believe you can. And that through speaking and through action, you can manifest those things. That's what the entire book, The Science of Getting Rich, is about. Manifesting in your life. And so if repetition is the mother of skill, repetitively doing something over and over and over and over, what is the famous quote by Bruce Lee? I don't fear the man who does 1,000 kicks. I fear the man who does one kick a day for 1,000 days. Repetitively practicing. That's how you build wealth. You have a muscle. And if you can't save a dollar, you have a very poor muscle. In today's day and world, you could open up an account with a simple phone. You don't even need a computer. And you could put a dollar in it every week. And at the end of a year, you would have done 52 repetitions. Repetition is the mother of skill. You say, well, a dollar's not much. No, but you would have gotten pretty damn good at every Friday pushing over that button. Man, now we just got to get the dollar to $10 and the dollar to $100 and the dollar to $1,000. But if I can't get you to do $1, you've given up on you. And that's where most people are. Because I truly believe that anyone, regardless of age, race, or financial situation, can begin to build wealth today. Now, you can choose not to. You can listen to me right now, not have the brokerage account, not do anything, but you're choosing to be poor. And the universe will honor that choice. Free will is at the basic foundation of most religions, and especially the social religion of America. You have a right to choose. Money is everywhere. But only to the degree that you have consciousness of money. When you drive to work and you pass house after house, or when I'm in town driving and I pass house after house after house, you know what I see? I see money everywhere. Every house I pass, I think, God, I'd like to own that. Man, I'd like to own that one. Man, I'd like to own that one. You ever think that? You're not money conscious. When I drive by gas stations, see Chevron, I go ticker symbol, CVX, pays a 4.1% dividend yield. When I drive past Public Storage, I say Public Storage trades at $134, 2.1% dividend yield. When I drive by and I see pipelines on the side, I wonder, is that gas or natural gas? And I began to research how to tell the difference between natural gas pipelines and oil pipelines and the various different pipeline companies. Because these pipeline companies pay a steady income if you own them. And I realize that anyone can own them. Just nobody told you about it. And I realize there's money everywhere. The phone in my hand. I could literally just invest in the company that produces the phone that I'm recording this on. And it'll pay you 50 cents a share every 3 months for the rest of your life. And a parsley sum invested in that could buy you a new car every 10 years. But you'd have to be responsible enough. You'd have to practice that muscle of setting aside money consistently. You'd have to tear down the excuses. Well, I don't have enough. You have a dollar. This is how great, this is how it happens. I get pushback all the time in my network marketing. Well, I don't have the money for stamps because the way that I market is I don't recruit you. I'm never going to call you and say, hey, would you, don't do that. I target opportunity seekers, and I do it through the mail, and I mail a postcard, and on the postcard I point to a website, and I have an 866 number, and if they respond, I then put them into my drip system, and I have a computer that prints out letters, and we push out letters. And so while I'm doing bubbles and bath with the kids, there's 20, 30 presentations a day, and while I'm over here building my wealth and working on a rental property, my computer's processing the information. And so I can be painting a wall and take a customer call and begin to compound and leverage my wealth. Because I understand how to use the tools and the systems that are available to me. Now, I didn't program any of it, I hired a programmer. I didn't print any of it, I hired a printer. I didn't make the paint, I bought the paint. But I'm responsible for the entire process. And so I take on great responsibility. If there's a wall, I say, can we blow it up? Can we go around it? Can we climb over it? What do we do? What do we do? How do we get around the wall? Because you're going to have pushback. You say, well, I don't have money. You don't have a dollar. What I've found in most things in life are just simple. Well, I want to work. I want to make more. Work more. Well, I don't want to work more. Well, then don't make more. Well, I want to do more. See, most of the time, the answer to everything, do more. You know, my goal is to accumulate 25 houses. How do I do that? I got to look for houses. You see, here's the thing that drives my wife crazy. Because for 18 years, I've had her working on houses. And she's tired of working on houses. I don't care. I have to get 25 houses. It's non-negotiable. You can do it with me or sayonara. That's commitment. Now, some people are going to push back and say, well, that's not very, I mean, that's kind of rough, man. I'm on a mission. And everyone else is either riding along with me or going somewhere else. I don't know where they're going. I'm on a mission. This has been known for a long time. I've been putting it out there every day for 18 years. I will accumulate 25 houses. Originally, it was 10. Originally, I wanted 10. The reason I wanted 10 is I could for sure be a millionaire. That was my goal. I wanted to be a millionaire. And I knew if I bought 10 houses, put them on a 30-year note, that no matter what, within 30 years, I would be a millionaire. And I just backed out the math. It's that simple. I just did the math. When I came into network marketing, there were lots of parts about the business I didn't like, but I just did the math. How much would I like to make a month? See, one of the first questions I ask people when they, I get a lot of people who pitch me their program and I have zero interest, zero. But I'll play with them and I'll say, well, how many customers, distributors do I need to make $2,000 a month? And without a fail, literally no one can ever answer that question. They've never done the math. They've never even done the math on the platform they're promoting. My question is, how do I get to $1 million? So it was easy in real estate, 10 houses. Boom, work backwards now. You purchase 10 houses, within 15 years, you're a millionaire. Maybe within 7, if you have a good paying job. Easy math. Network marketing. How many distributors do I need to make $1 million? In my organization, the company's called the Downline Building Network. My goal is $1 million a year gross, company gross. Well, that's easy. 1,000 people on the $100 level subscription, that's $1 million. But I know not everyone will come in at the $100. So how many do I need at the 30, the 50, and the 100 to make gross $1 million? Just do the math. You want to make 10,000, do the math. So once you've done the math, you know the target. If you know the target, now we can make a plan to get to the target, right? It's just simply doing the math. But in order to have a target, to put a plan together to accomplish the target, You have to be what?
Responsible.
I teach this thing in my company called the 10 Pillars of Success. I teach this February through November. Pillar number one, how you think is everything. Pillar number 10, take full responsibility for everything. Why? Because I believe these two, and then the eight that are sandwiched between, but these two are the foundational principle to a successful life and business. How you think and taking full responsibility. There's nothing grosser in the world than a leader who says, that's not my fault. There's nothing grosser in the world than a leader who says, that's not my fault. Whether it be as a father, team leader, squad leader, shift supervisor at Walmart, everything that happens when you're in charge is solely your fault, even if someone else did it intentionally and you could not stop it. This is a radical way of thinking. But here's what happens when you think like this. I didn't say it's right, and I didn't say it's fair. The reason I have this strategy and this philosophy is because it gives you incredible personal power. It means I'm the master of my universe. I am solely in charge. Money is everywhere, but only to the degree that you have the consciousness of money. Most people are like the man who drives around in low gear, not even knowing that he could just make one little shift. And he could not only go faster, but speed up quicker, but he could do it with much less expedient power. In other words, it's easier to drive in second and third and fourth gear than it is to go all out in first gear. That's just like money. People who do less work earn more money, because they use their mind. Money's everywhere. Begin to notice it as you go about your day. When you're at work and you walk by the vending machine, it's making money. When you pull into that gas station, look around at all those people and see those wallets and credit cards and plastic. It's all money. And yet we go about our life all the time with not enough money, and yet it's flowing all around you. How do you get in that stream, man? It's called the money flow.